I'd like to call your attention this morning to the Word of God as written by Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1. In the class that I teach in the back, we have been engaged in a series of lessons that are entitled The Christian Experience. I want to share something with you this morning that has been upon my heart for a long time. And I'll be honest with you this morning, I haven't studied this to present it to you as a message. I had hoped the Lord would give me a place to preach this. But when I got Brother Binion's call this morning, it wasn't but just a few minutes that I knew what my text was and what the scriptures were and what the thought is. And I truly believe that God works all things to the glory and the honor of God according to His will. God knew who would be here this morning. He knew who would need to hear this message. And the only thing that I would ask of you today is to give attention to the Word of God, and for those of you that know the Lord and the worth of prayer, that you would pray that God would just use me as a vessel and that His Word would be clear to those that hear. Second Peter chapter 1, I want to read 8 verses. I want you to notice who that Peter was writing to. And I believe today in my heart, and I've talked to my wife about this and some other people in the church, that I know we live in a troublesome age. I know that everybody's got their mind on the election and the politics in our country. But I also believe that the church, and I'm talking about the local, visible bodies of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when I say church, I'm talking about the institution of the church, which is comprised of the local individual bodies of Jesus Christ that are scattered across this world that are upholding His truth. But I believe that the church is at a critical juncture in its history. And I want to say this in the very beginning, and this came to me this morning, and if I had to put a label on this message or the things that I have upon my heart, it would just be simply to say that we live in a world that has redefined spirituality. What it means to be spiritual. And at the same time, I believe that even we, as Missionary Baptist people, are beginning to or seem to be redefining what it means to us to be spiritual. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I want you to notice that second verse. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Listen to verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I won't deny this morning that these scriptures have been a part of our lesson in the back for several weeks. And I have told my class over and over again that this needs to be heard more than just by this little group back here. In verse 2, in verse 3, and in verse 8, you find the word knowledge. That Greek word is epignosis. And basically what it means is that there is a participation of the subject with the object or the person that is trying to be knowledgeable. Basically what it means, there's an interaction between the person and the object that it is trying to know more about. It differs from the word knowledge in verse 5 because that word is gnosis, and it means a fragmented knowledge, a present and fragmentary knowledge. And the only way that I know how to describe that is that when I look at you this morning, there are a lot of you that I'm acquainted with, a lot of you that I know, and there are many of you that I know much better than I do others. My knowledge in this world is fragmented. I know bits and pieces about God. I know bits and pieces about His Word. But when Peter wrote this and he used that epignosis in verse 3 and verse 8, that is talking about a knowledge that is gained by participating with someone or something and learning more about it. I use the example that I have a very, very close friend. Many of you heard me talk about him from time to time. And he's just like a brother to me. I've known him for 35 years. But when I first met him, I knew very little about him. But after 35 years with him, working with him day after day, being with him day after day, I can tell you a lot more about him than I can now, than I could in the very beginning. Now, what I'm trying to talk to you about is this redefined spirituality that's in the world. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, I want you to listen to this because I have a burden for those of you that have been seeking the Lord and I don't know where you stand, and maybe you don't know where you stand. Maybe you're confused. But what the world is defining as spirituality is not what the Bible teaches. And what the church many times defines as spirituality is not what the Bible teaches. What this lesson series has been about and what this writing that Peter was writing here is about going farther in your relationship with God after that you have been saved. Now, by His very nature, by our creation, by the way that we are made and the way that God created us, we are spiritual people. What do I mean by that? You have a soul. In the very beginning, when God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. The human family are the only created beings on this earth that can have a relationship with God. And I believe that Adam had a relationship with God in the Garden of Eden when he was created. I believe that Adam walked with God. I believe he talked with God. And I don't know how much time that Adam and Eve spent in the garden before they fell, before Adam disobeyed God and fell into sin. And that relationship there was broken. It was severed. And that's why we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus went to the cross. His very purpose in going to the cross was to provide a pathway for man to come back into a relationship with God. To know God. Epignosis. To have an experimental knowledge of God. We have a saying here at Victory Church, for those of you that are maybe visiting that haven't been here before, and we will say, you need to know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. In other words, you need to really know. You need to have a real knowledge that you have been forgiven of your sins. And I'm going to tell you that the only way you can get that is through prayer and repentance toward God and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will let you know when you are saved. Now, we believe that. And I'm going to tell you today that that is a spiritual work. It is not fleshly. It is not emotional. Somebody's going to throw me out, right? There may be emotion associated with it, but the experience itself is spiritual. It takes place between the soul of an individual and the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father. It is a spiritual interaction. It is the first spiritual interaction that a person has with God. It's the very first one. And I believe that it is absolutely necessary in order for one to go to heaven when they leave the walks of this life. I don't believe you can get there without it. The Bible said you must be born from above. You must have this experience of grace in your life. You must come to know God in order to be saved. But the world tries to redefine spirituality and spiritual things by intermingling the things of the world with it. And for you that are lost, the world will tell you if you'll just come and make a decision for Christ and sign this card and join the church, and God bless you, you're saved. And if you don't believe that happens, I can tell you how I was deceived. There are thousands and thousands of religious beliefs in the world today that intermingle physical things, obedience, and other things of that nature into what they call being saved or being able to go to heaven. And I'm just telling you that it's a private transaction. It's an interaction between you and the Lord, and God will tell you when He has forgiven your sins. The 116th Psalm declares that when David talked about his experience. And I'm going to say this, and we must be careful, even ourselves. when we speak to people that are lost, when we instruct them, children, I want you to know it does not matter how many tears you shed. It doesn't matter if you're at the altar in the church or if you're in your bed or if you're in the backyard. Where you find the Lord is where you find the Lord. Don't be deceived by that. Don't be deceived into believing that this spiritual experience that you need is going to be something that you can generate of your own will. It's a heart work, and it takes place within the heart. And it's between you and God. Now, if you're confused about where you stand with God, if you're in doubt, if you are in a state of just what you would call not knowing, I encourage you to continue to pray and talk to the Lord. And when you do, trust Him with all of your being. Surrender your entire being to God. And He will save you. And you will know it. Now, we as Missionary Baptists today, we uphold that teaching adamantly. We're very adamant about it. We're very passionate about it. Because we believe it to be the truth. But I think sometimes in the course of our upholding that doctrine and that teaching, that we have left off what Peter is talking about in 2 Peter chapter 1. And if you study the articles of faith, and I know some of our Sunday school have been studying the articles of faith, you find there's an article of faith about sanctification. I think that was last Sunday, maybe. It was today? Okay. God wants you to go farther in your relationship with Him. Getting saved is important. It's the most important thing. But let me tell you, when Adam was in the garden with God before the fall, and the Bible said that God came walking in the cool of the day and said, Adam, where are you? I believe there had been more walks with God than just that one. The whole purpose that God created man was so that he could have a relationship with his Creator. So when we get saved, when we are born again, and there may be some here today that have been saved, and maybe you're just kind of in limbo in your life. Maybe you've been saved for a long time, and you're just kind of going through the motions. You need to be more spiritual. You need to draw closer to God. Now, let me say this about spirituality. Many times we define the spiritual person as the one who shouts the roof off the building. As the one who stands up in an emotional outburst in church and makes some statement. And I'm not against testifying. I'm not opposed to people standing up when the Lord moves them and testifying. I'm not opposed to shouting. I believe in it when it comes from the Lord. But just like sinners who are lost many times try to manufacture up that repentance and that faith and that work that God is to do in their soul by things that they are doing, The world has been busy redefining what it means to be a spiritual person and what it means to be spiritual and close to God, and so has the church in many cases. We can't allow those things to come in and deceive us and to discolor what we know to be true about this relationship that we have with God. And it's no different than me and my friend of 35 years. I came to know Steve Rich in about 1983. I count him as one of my closest friends. And I can tell you details about his life and about him. I can tell you how he'll react if the person in the drive-thru at Burger King puts mayonnaise on a hamburger. God wants us to go farther. If I had never spent time with my friend, I would never have learned all of those details about his life. Peter, in these scriptures, and I know Brother Binion read from these a while back, and I don't even remember what his message was as he read from these, but I want you to know that my focus is on verse 8. Peter talked about adding to your faith. He talked about adding virtue and knowledge, and that knowledge is that fragmentary knowledge, temperance, patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and charity. And he said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the epigenosis, the experimental knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are things that when we are saved, and if you have been saved this morning, and I'll tell you this, that when a person gets saved, it really pleases the devil that he can keep them at a state of wondering about whether or not they're saved. I've been there. I've experienced that. I know what that's like. And I can tell you that the thing that really started my relationship with God to blossom was when I united with the Lord's church. Now, I'm not up here begging for church members. I'm telling you my experience. The devil had me in a place where I wondered if I was, I thought I was saved, but then I'd wonder that I wasn't, and I was in a state of confusion, but I wanted very badly to join the church. And I'm telling you, it was the Lord that was impressing me to join the church. I know that now because I know what it's like time and time and time, over and over and over again, for the Lord to burden my heart for something for Him in a spiritual nature, and I recognize that voice. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Jesus used the relationship of the shepherd and the sheep to describe the relationship of God and His people. And if you're resisting God today and you're trying to get outside the flock, if you're wanting outside the pen, your relationship with God is not going to grow. It's not going to blossom. You're not going to draw closer to God. God wants us to draw closer. He wants us to work. He wants us to labor. He wants us to hear the Word. This is Sunday school lesson all over again this morning. I'm sorry, guys. James told these people that he wrote to, he said, lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The engrafted word. When God saves you, He puts His word within you. He puts His laws in your heart. And when you hear the preaching of the gospel, it bears witness with that word that you hear. But you have to receive it. You have to act upon it. You have to do something. We have to do something. We have criticized over and over again the religions in this world that teach works for salvation to the point that we have left off the works that follow salvation. Far too many times we've heard the story of a person that came into a church, came to an altar, got up and gave a testimony and went out the door and never came back, never served God, never did anything for the Lord, and then died. And we want to stand in the funeral home and stand over the casket, and I'm not saying I can judge anybody's soul, but we want to say, well, God bless him, he was saved. He lived to be 50 years old. He was saved when he was 10, but he never did anything for the Lord. But he's in heaven today. I'm telling you, folks, that's not Bible. You may not agree with me, and if that's your right, it's not scriptural. Jesus said a good tree will bring forth good fruit. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The sheep won't wander far from the shepherd for very long. They won't back. They won't back in the pen. So God wants us to receive His Word. He wants us to interact with Him. He wants us to talk to Him. If your prayer life is out of sync, if you're not praying and trying to talk to God, you can't grow closer to God. You can't learn more about God. Once you're saved, you need to interact with God. You need to pray and talk to Him about the issues of life. Talk to Him about the things that are oppressing you or bothering you. Study His Word. Add knowledge to your faith. Add that fragmentary knowledge. Get into the Word of God. Come to Sunday school. Come to church. And put forth the effort in your life to draw closer to God. Let me read some scripture to you this morning. And this is an encouragement to you. You know what James said about that man? He said, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You know what that means? The word blessed means? Full of the fullness of God. If we will put forth the effort to draw near to God, if we will pray, if we will put forth the effort to read His Word and to attend church and to attend Sunday school and to labor for Him and to draw closer to Him, I'm telling you, the Bible says He will draw nigh to us. Now, I want to read these scriptures to you in chapter 4 of James. James chapter 4. And about verse 4. And I know that these scriptures have been used many times in revival meetings to preach to lost people. But listen to what James wrote and who he wrote it to. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity or opposition with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? And that's talking about the flesh. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. How many people have ever heard those scriptures preached to a sinner in a revival meeting? Read the next verse. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. That's written to save people. Was written to save people. After that you're saved, draw nigh to God. In meekness, receive the Word of God. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord after that you're saved. Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts, your mind. Clean up your thoughts. How many times did Paul say to dwell on spiritual things? Be afflicted and mourn and weep. And that's not talking about your circumstance. It's talking about your sin, the flesh, the temptations that we suffer in the flesh. We need help with those to be able to resist the devil, that he might flee from us and that we might be able to draw closer to God and be more spiritual. I'll tell you, you might be able to work up a tear, and you might be able to work up a shout. But I'll tell you this much, when God gets a hold of you, when you're close to the Lord, and you're in a place where you're near to God, and He moves on your soul, and He wants you to shout the praises of God, you won't be able to resist it. And that's when shouting's real. But the spiritual person is that person that is walking with God. He's talking with God. He's in the Word of God. And I'm not talking about being a scholar. We got far too many people today that are living on their education and what they think they know about the Word of God from their study. I want to tell you that when you go home today, and maybe you'll listen to this message, and maybe you listen to Brother Binion's messages, and you think about these things, open your Bible and read these scriptures and meditate upon them and pray to the Lord and ask the Lord to speak to you concerning them and let Him tell you what they mean. I believe that with all my heart, folks. I do. I don't want anybody to believe what I say because I preach it. I'm human. I can make a mistake, even up here. But God makes no mistakes. And when God speaks to you concerning His Word and gives you what it means, that's what it means. And nobody will convince you otherwise. Peter said, if these things be in you. Now, all of these things that he mentioned in this chapter are things we have to do. We have to act. We have to draw nigh to God. We have to spiritually draw nigh to God. That means you've got to do spiritual things. The worldly things won't cut it. They won't do it. You cannot substitute the things of the world for the things of God. For if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren. Our land's pretty barren around here right now, isn't it? Because we hadn't had any rain. It's dry. It's fragile. You won't be barren, nor unfruitful in your experimental knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can't help but tell you today that the closer you come to the Lord, the more you strive to draw near to Him, that experimental knowledge gets greater and greater. I've said many times, when I was first saved, I went for nearly 6 years before I ever joined a church. Those 6 years of my life were very barren from a spiritual perspective. Since I joined a church and I began trying to serve the Lord, and I'm not heralding myself as a perfect person, but by my experience, I have markers along the way of life that I can go back to. The Lord did this here. The Lord did this here. The Lord was with me here. The Lord talked to me here. The Lord spoke to me about His Word here. The Lord called me to preach here. The Lord laid this burden on my heart here. You need those markers. You need those experiences with God. It'll make you a spiritual person. It'll bring you closer to God. That's what the spiritual person really is the person that is walking in the center of the will of God and is walking closely with God. May God bless you today. That's the message that the Lord wanted me to bring. I apologize to my Sunday school class for having to hear this over and over and over again. But I truly believe that it's needed. Young people need to be encouraged to seek the Lord after you've been saved. We say seek the Lord till you get saved. The seeking just starts when you get saved. You need to continue seeking Him. Continue talking to Him. Seek His guidance and His will for your life. Seek His Word and the knowledge of His Word. It'll make you stronger in the grace of God. May God bless you. While we stand, Brother Devin, if you've got a song, I hope that you'll be encouraged by the Word of God to draw nearer to God. I can tell you about not being near to God, and I can tell you about being near. I know the difference. And I'm not up here to proclaim that I'm always right exactly where the Lord wants me in my walk with Him. But I know it's a lot better to be walking with Him and closer to Him than it is to be outside the sheepfold. It's a miserable life. We need to draw closer to God. We need to become more spiritual people. Oh, I believe in shouting. I do. But I tell you, it needs to be real. And when the Lord gets a hold of you and makes you shout, He won't be no holding back. I assure you of that. And it'll be genuine. We don't need to remove that. We don't need to remove being led of the Spirit of God because it's abused sometimes. We need to learn. People need to be taught. They need to understand what it means to be a spiritual person. We do. We have the truth. We have the truth concerning the experimental knowledge of a person being saved and knowing that they're saved. But that experimental knowledge needs to grow and go farther after they're saved. And we won't act like a bunch of babies because we'll grow up in the Lord. May God bless you today. I hope it's beneficial. Pray for me. I love you all. I love my church. I love God. I love His cause. I love the Lord. And I love you that are lost, if you're hearing lost today. And if you're confused, I'm going to tell you, you just go right back to the Lord and you pray and you talk to Him and He will help you. I've been there too. He will help you. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you.